Shalom and bonjour, salutations. My name is Noel Joshua Hadley, and of course, this is the address where you find yourself is the Unexpected Cosmology. Now, tonight's discussion is it's a kind of discussion that has a habit of taking a baseball bat out to a hornet's nest. It's talking about the mark of the beast is sensitive subject matter, but especially in the instance of what I'll be talking about tonight. Now, of course, that's not my intent to upset people, but you know, that's the Bible for you, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I've been sitting here for the last 20 minutes praying, getting ready for the presentation, and every time I open my eyes, I'm staring at this picture of this I don't know what she is, some sort of spirit goddess, the mark of the beast woman, I don't really know. So let's keep scrolling. The fresh off the press mark of the beast, or the mark of Yahuwah, or Yah if you prefer for short, which will you choose? Now, for all the newbies to this channel out there, Yahuwah is the Paleo Hebrew word for Yahuwah or Yahweh, or, you know, most Bible translations will say the Lord, but I prefer using his actual name, and I believe the Paleo is his revealed name. So yeah, if you're curious as to what the mark of Yahuwah is, and this is the first time you've heard about it, then welcome. Welcome to everybody. But welcome. Oh, so you can see there, 3/10/24, published this, finished it a couple days ago. Let's go ahead and start this out by reading the famous passage in Revelation concerning the mark of the beast. And he made for them all, the great ones and the small ones, the rich ones and the poor ones, the slaves and the freed ones, a sign on his right hand or on their forehead, that no one is able to buy or to sell unless he has this sign on his hand or on his forehead, or the name of the animal or the number of his name. Here is wisdom and understanding. Whosoever has insight needs to reckon the number of the animal, for it is the number of a man. And the amount is found 666. Now, this comes from the Confidential Councils, Hebrew Revelation 13:16-18. This is the Hebrew document, the literally in Hebrew Revelation that I'm quoting from. Now, the trouble we find ourselves in has more to do with the sad fact that nearly everyone interprets Revelation on its own without ever thinking it necessary to cross-reference with the rest of the Bible. Yochanan, and that would be John, that would be his Hebrew name, wasn't simply making this stuff up. He wasn't introducing new concepts either. I don't think there's a single new concept in all of Revelation. No, he was confirming details which had already been established in the book. Now, take the 666 number, for example. I just gave you the famed passage from which it derives. The decision to go with the Hebrew text rather than Greek in this instance was to make a very specific point. The Hebrew refers to a sign rather than a mark. And did you also notice it said animal rather than beast? I kind of find that interesting. Well, whoop-de-doo, not that it makes a difference. A sign and a mark is the same thing. It is the transition, however, from the Old Testament Hebrew to the New Testament Greek, which can be disorienting, creating all sorts of cognitive dissonance because you're going from a Hebrew language to a Greek, you see? So there's different terms. Gets people in a lot of trouble because they think that these terms in the New Testament are brand new terms that don't exist in the Old. And it's like, no, they do. They actually, when you look at the Greek LXX, that's the Greek Old Testament. It's the same Greek words in the Old and the New. Now, let me just point out here one thing I will not be covering tonight. I have another paper here called the 666 number. I gave a presentation on this about a year ago. I think the presentation is called The Mark of the Beast Finally Explained. And this one goes through the actual, you know, the number 666. and how that relates to the first century leading up through the fig tree generation up to 70 AD. I will not be covering that tonight. So for everyone out there, you know, asking questions, but what about, he didn't cover 666 itself, right? The name of the man. Yeah, not covering that tonight. I already covered that in the past. Now, getting back to the Mark of the Beast, all right? Look it up on YouTube. You might have actually looked this one up on YouTube. Perform an internet search. You'll find hundreds, no, thousands of explanations for the Mark of the Beast, hardly any of them using scripture to interpret scripture. They're all imaginative. The mark is nearly always the next thing in politics, the latest technology coming down the pipeline. It will be something which is soon introduced via politics, religion, and science, which will damn everyone eternally who takes it. And that's a long time. You'll hear countless individuals telling you they won't be deceived when whatever it is finally appears on the world stage, whereas nearly everyone else and their pastor will be deceived. And what the people need is a healthy dosage of warning regarding whatever it is. Well, I happen to wholeheartedly agree with those sentiments. People should be warned. It's why I devote my life to giving unpopular opinions. Reading their Bibles is a good habit also. Even more important is doing what it says. Reading the Bible and then just do what it says. It's not that difficult. Right there, that is the trouble we find ourselves in. The misdirection derives from a lack of knowledge, and a lack of knowledge leads to destruction. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. People won't be deceived when the mark arrives. They're already deceived. The mark is here. It's been here our entire lives. It's been here for the entirety of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents' lives. Even more so, it's been here for many millennia, even before Revelation was written. And as proof of that claim, it most certainly can be found in other places within scripture. So here, let me show you. And Yahuwah, so there he is again, Yahuwah, Yahweh, and Yahuwah, the ever-living, he declared toward Al-Mashaha, and that would be Moses, to say, and you will set words in order towards the sons of Yasharel to say, certainly, my Shabbaths you will guard. For this is a powerful sign between me and between you, for generation circling to generation, for acquiring knowledge. For I, Yahuwah, the ever-living, as setting you apart, and you shall guard the Sabbath, for it is established, powerful, kudash, set apart, to you. Any who profanes, wounds, destroys, or breaks her shall be executed. Executed for all that fashion in her any prescribed service, especially the work of the artisan, that nefash, that means soul, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of his people. 6 days he may fashion a prescribed work or service, but on the seventh, Sabbath, his Sabbath of rest, is set apart to Yahuwah. All who fashions work or service on this Sabbath day, dying, he shall be executed. Between me and between the sons of Yasharel, this shall be a sign, there it is again, to time of long duration. For 6 days, Yahuwah fashioned the Af HaShamayim, that would be the heavens, and the earth, the Aratz. And in the seventh day, he rested, Shabbat, and took a breather. That comes from the Paleo-Hebrew, Shamawoth, or Exodus 31, 12 through 17. There is the word again, sign. We have already encountered the sign of the beast, or the sign of the animal, in Revelation's Hebrew transcript. And as a reminder, a sign is the same thing as a mark. Tell that person who is going on and on and on about the techno mark of the beast that Yahuwah also has a mark of salvation, and that it's the Sabbath. And quite suddenly, everyone, even the self-declared watchmen on the wall begins losing their mind. That's what I love about scripture. Mind you, I'm not the one taking a baseball bat to the hornet's nest. The Bible already does a fine job of that without my added commentary. All I'm doing is pulling a pencil out from my pocket and connecting the dots. The comparisons are unmistakable on this one. Think about this. Nobody is able to buy or sell unless he has the sign of the beast on his hand or on his forehead. But then contrarily, everyone who accepts the sign of Yahuwah cannot buy or sell on the Sabbath. A further clue happens to rely upon the consequence of taking or rejecting either mark. Those who reject the sign of Yahuwah in buying or selling on the Sabbath will be destroyed, executed, cut off from Yasharel, that would be Israel, whereas those who take the sign of the beast will experience the same fate. It's almost like Yochanan is attempting to tell us something, but I wonder what it is. Well, let's keep putting our heads together and see if we can figure this one out. Are we looking at a literal exchange, removing the sign of Yah for the sign of the beast, so that buying and selling can commence on his Sabbath day? Could it be? Perhaps what we need is a second witness. Will you be happy to note that I found one? And this comes from Ezekiel 20:12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahuwah that sanctify them. The theme that is so far developing happens to rely upon who our Elohim truly is. Now, Elohim is the Paleo-Hebrew word for God. Taking the mark of Yahuwah and keeping his Sabbaths is a good indication that we know him, and far more importantly, that he knows us. Whereas the person who aligns himself with the beast in rejecting the Sabbaths of rest may attempt to convince himself and everyone around him that he is not deceived, but does Yahuwah and the beast see it that way? They are well aware of what their own mark looks like, which reminds me, many of you will protest on the basis that the mark of the beast is worn on the hand or their forehead, whereas the mark of Yahuwah is apparently not. Oh, is that so? Well, then let's look at another Bible memory verse, shall we? Hear, O Yasharel, Yahuwah Elohayu. Yahuwah is one, and that's the word ikad. And thou shalt love Yahuwah Elohayu with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine hearts, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sit in thine house, and when thou walk by the way, and when thou lie down, and when thou rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. There it is. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. There it is. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy graves. And Devarim, or Deuteronomy 6:4-9. And not just any Bible memory verse either. This is the big one. This is the Shema you've all probably heard about. It's the passage of scripture which isn't simply memorized. It's inscribed on small scrolls and stored in boxes called a mezuzah, which is then fastened to the doorpost of homes. And that's something I do. I put the commands on the doorpost of my homes. That's a literal commands, and Yah says to do it, so I do it. Look, all I'm doing is showing you the location of Yahuwah's mark. It can be found on the hand and the forehead, precisely where the mark of the beast is located, not a coincidence. And of course, between your eyes reminds us of the pineal gland, speaking of its spiritual nature, as well as the communication receiver with our Elohim of choice. All Yochanan was attempting to do is warn the covenant members of the fig tree generation not to break their marriage vows with Yahuwah, the Elohim of Yasharel, and go whoring after Babylon. not just his generation, though. And he certainly wasn't writing something down as a warning for a segregated generation thousands of years removed. Don't be ridiculous. Taking the mark of Yahuwah or rejecting it in favor of the mark of the beast has been a decision which every single generation has been prompted to make. It is a decision, and a divisive one at that. Divisive meaning if you shun the mark of the beast for the mark of Yahuwah, it's divisive. People will be really, really angry at you. Family members, friends, they'll call you all sorts of names. They'll call you deceived. They'll throw everything. They'll throw the book at you, everything they can. Every single thesaurus, you know, word they can come up with, which we are faced with. A divisive one of that, which we are faced with continually, week after week. Keep the Sabbath as a set-apart day from the rest. And then keep it again and again and again. Don't go whoring after other Allahayam. Don't be like the whore of Babylon. Don't take the mark. And again, so if you grew up with the Yahudim first century and the Asherel and really the kingdom of Yehuda, you're going to be raised in the synagogues. You're well aware that to not keep the Sabbath day, to not have the mark of Yah, is to be cut off. That's not just speaking about like physically, you know, like that week means eternally, right? You choose the blessing or the curse. And people who choose not to keep the Sabbath would be cursed. And so all Yochanan or John is doing here is he's warning all these new Christians coming in. He's like, guys, don't take the mark. Don't do it. Keep the Sabbath. There was probably heavy temptation to do it. And of course, that continued through the centuries, you know, up to the present day. Excuses are a dime a dozen, which is to say the mental gymnastics employed by those who attempt to weasel their way out of the fourth commandment is cheap currency. I have heard dozens, if not hundreds, of rebuttals from those who refuse the mark of Yahuwah, and probably not the last. I'm sure I'll hear many more attempts to explain it away. Some of them are at least imaginative. My absolute favorite of the bunch, though it is the least original, are those who claim, I hear this one the most, and it's painstaking to have to go through this, are those who claim they don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore because Jesus is their Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. Does it sound familiar to you too? I like chapter and verse addresses myself, and so if I had to guess, here is where they're nabbing their doctrine from. I don't have to keep the Sabbath because Jesus is my Sabbath rest. Hold on, I need to drink a coffee first before I go through this. For inasmuch as on this day Yahusha rested, or you could put Jesus there if you want, he would not have spoken of a different day. What? There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of Allahayam. For anyone who enters Allahayam's rest, and again, that would be God's rest, also rests from their works, just as Allahayam did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. That comes from Hebrews chapter 4, 9 through 11. Well, I'll be. There it is, the Bible memory verse that is all the rage. Yahusha rested, you don't say. Praise Yah, I guess. As there are now millions of people on this spinning, wobbling Copernican planet making their 584 million mile trek around the sun through the vacuum of space and no longer needing sleep or rest, apparently, because Yahusha rested. Gravity probably has something to do with it. Their 9-to-5 is a literal 24/7 because Jesus nailed their need for a Sabbath rest to the cross, or so I hear. Do they also realize that Jesus is their bread and their water? I don't want to assume. The bread and water claim derives from at least two passages. Here, let me show you. The first comes from, they both come from Bezorah Yochanan. So Bezorah would be gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, 13 through 14. Yahusha answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to everlasting life." And then you see in chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger." What? "And he that believes on me shall never thirst." What? "And now I am wondering, do the same people who have no need for a Sabbath rest," seeing as how Yahusha HaMashiach is their Sabbath rest, or I should say maybe Jesus Christ is their Sabbath rest, not eat or drink as well? Because he is their bread and water, you know. "Teach me, Breatharian. Take me to the mountaintop and show me how it's done." Or maybe, just maybe, there's some scripture twisting going on. Just maybe. All I'm reading in Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 is that Yahusha rested on the Sabbath day. Now, finish the sentence. The writer of that book is speaking of no other day but the Sabbath, as evidenced by his keeping it on that day. The next sentence is just as important. The writer says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of Alahayam." I take that to mean the Sabbath remains for anyone who claims to be a child of Alahayam. But that's not all. The writer even defines what rest is on the Sabbath. Entering Alahayam's rest means resting from our what? From our work. Just as Alahayam did from his. Say what? That's a reference to the creation week. You can't say that it's just given to the Jews. They're telling you that we need to model ourselves after the creation week. That's a model for all humanity. This is the Ten Commandments, people. Like, this isn't this isn't just some obscure corner of the Torah or the Tanakh. But then the final sentence is the best part. The writer states, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Did the writer of Hebrews just go there? Did he or she claim the person who snubs the Sabbath is a naughty little child and that they will perish due to their disobedience? That's what it says. Is nobody else seeing this? It's in the New Testament, after the Gospels, after the cross. That's yet another reference to the mark of the beast. Anyone who takes the mark of the beast will perish, whereas those who have the mark of Yahuwah will be saved. How in the world do so many people read a passage like this one and claim the takeaway is that Jesus is their Sabbath rest so that they don't have to keep it? Let me just read this one more time before we move on, just so you could see it now with fresh eyes if you need it done. For in it, now I wish I would read from the entire chapter of Hebrews, because the seven verses leading up to this are phenomenal. They're all about keeping the Sabbath day. "For inasmuch as on this day," which day? The Sabbath, Yahusha rested. He didn't rest on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. He rested on the Sabbath. "He would not have spoken of a different day." So there you go. It's not any other day other than the Sabbath. All right. The writer's telling you, don't keep any other day. Just keep the Sabbath. Mashiach modeled it for us. "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of Alahayam." So because Mashiach did this, that is evidence that the Sabbath remains for the people of God. "For anyone who enters Alahayam's rest also rests from their works." They're defining it for you. They're saying, okay, you're giving up work on this day. That's what it means to rest. You can't just come up with different definitions of what it means to rest. You're not working a job and Jesus rested for you, so you don't have to. They define it, all right? "Just as Alahayam did from his." So he modeled, the creator of the universe modeled it for us. "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." Okay, so now you have to take action. Like, we call it preparation day on Fridays. Make every effort to enter that rest. That sounds really important. "So that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." Did you get that? Just there are people who are disobedient against the Sabbath. They're not keeping it, and they will perish. And the people who follow their example will perish. That is straight up cross-reference the mark of the beast. It's so evident. All right, well, let's keep reading. I'm going again into Shemawoth, Exodus chapter 20. Remember the day of the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahuwah Alahayu. In it you shall not do any work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days, Yahuwah made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Yahuwah blessed the day of Sabbath and hallowed it. A straightforward reading of Hebrews, when paired with Exodus chapter 20, has the writer quite literally establishing the fourth commandment. I mean, he probably just looking at the page, probably had it memorized, but just looking at the page, just, you know, scribbling it down, writing the book of Hebrews. It's a repeat, almost line for line. I'm not seeing anything here regarding continuing your work because Jesus is resting in your place. Nor did I in Hebrews, in case you're still attempting to beat that dead horse. I will remind you, this is the Ten Commandments we're talking about. The disobedient children can argue until the cows come home regarding how the Torah is for Yasharel only rather than them. But what is this nonsense crossing out whatever commands are inconvenient for them among the ten? What next? Giving false witness against your neighbor is kosher? We could, you know, commit adultery now, dishonor your parents. I mean, what's next, right? You've just taken one of the Ten Commandments, said, yeah, we're going to cross that one out. We're not going to keep that one anymore. How ironic among all the commands of Yahuwah, and we're talking the 613 in the Torah, keeping the Sabbath is the only one which Yahuwah tells us to remember. Do not forget. And I could show you passage after passage, and the Sabbath comes up, and he's like, remember, do not forget. That sounds really important. It's almost like forgetting it means you don't have the mark of Yah, and you've taken another mark. And yet, it is the only command which has been forgotten, snubbed, rebelled against, and altogether redefined in favor of taking the other mark. Oh, and that's the other thing. Did you notice how the number 6 kept coming up? 6 days you shall labor. And again, for in 6 days the earth was created. That's the number of man. The mark of the beast is carrying the number of man over onto the set-apart day of Yahuwah. A lack of knowledge truly does lead to destruction. We see that right here in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected the knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Now, I get this thrown at me all the time, that apparently I'm the one with the lack of knowledge, and I will be destroyed, and I will be rejected because I've lost knowledge for being obedient to the commands. And I'm always like, okay, finish the verse. You quoted half of Hosea 4:6. Let's finish it. Seeing as how you have forgotten the what? The Torah of your Alahayam, I will also forget your children. Husha or Hosea 4:6. Now, another excuse. Hold on. Before I get to that other excuse, I need another drink of coffee. Another excuse is that Mashiach never said we were to keep Sabbath, apparently, indicating that the mark of Yahuwah is now optional. Did you get that? Because I actually get this. People are like, well, yeah, Jesus never said that you were, he never specifically said you were to keep Sabbath, so we don't really need to, we don't need to worry about it. And this is where the lack of knowledge leads to destruction, apparently, unfortunately. These are the same individuals who claimed that Mashiach did away with the Torah anyways. So like, it's like, what does it matter, right? He nailed it to the cross, right? So it doesn't matter if he said to or not, because I've seen people argue that anything that Mashiach said before the cross, those are not commands for us. We don't have to be obedient to those because they've been nailed to the cross. All that matters is whatever was spoken afterwards. Well, then let's see what Mashiach actually says regarding the keeping of the commands. Think not that I come to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one yod or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That comes from Matthew 5, 17 through 19. Mashiach begins by telling us what not to think, that he has come to destroy the Torah. So don't think that. Do not think that he has come to destroy the Torah. And well, a lot of good that does, apparently, because the Mark of the Beast people here destroy the Torah and run with it. He even says it twice, just to be certain that everyone is paying attention and nobody misquotes him. Think not that I come to destroy the Torah, and realizing the short-term memory loss among his political voter base, I'm not come to destroy the Torah. So he says it twice. But then just to make certain that the Torah is done away with crowd doesn't claim it, he was speaking to an Old Testament audience, seeing as how the Torah was apparently destroyed on the cross afterwards, and I kind of made mention of that a few minutes ago, Mashiach asked everyone to look out the window. I mean, perhaps you should too. I mean, look, you know, you may need to lift the blinds, go out there, look out the window, and tell me what you see. Are earth and sky accounted for? You see the earth, you see the heavens, you see the sky. Then the Torah abides. Those are his words, not mine. It's a conclusion, however, that I wanted you to see. Mashiach warns that anyone who breaks the least of the commandments, teaching others to do the same, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, if that's your standard of admission, I mean, forsaking the mark of Yahuwah and toying around with the mark of the beast, if that's, you want to play with fire. I mean, if you're okay with that, playing Russian roulette with your soul and barely making it in, then there's nothing else I can do. And by the way, the Sabbath isn't one of the least commands. It's in the Ten Commandments. All right, this isn't like, I don't know. I could look through and try to figure out what are the least commands in the Torah. It's not the Sabbath. It's like the top of the top. By the way, Mashiach does talk about the Sabbath day. You have to step outside of Roman canon, but I'm okay with that if you are, or even if you aren't. It derives from Bezorah Teom. And so that would be the Gospel of Thomas. And I put, I guess, the next sentence here. That would be the dreaded Gospel of Thomas. Dun, dun, dun. Well, hold on to something, because we're going in. I love the Gospel of Thomas. It's so awesome. Yahushua said, I need to do a whole Bible study just on line for line through Gospel of Thomas. I might do that after I'm done with Galatians. Yahushua said, if you do not fast from the world, you will not find the kingdom. If you do not celebrate the Sabbath as a Sabbath, you will not know the Father. And that's Bezorah Teom 27. Oh, gee, you have to wonder why Bezorah Teom is so controversial. You have to wonder why our controllers didn't want it in the Bible. There are other quote-unquote controversial passages, quote-unquote, in the Gospel of Thomas, though time and again, I have shown them to be biblical. I've shown that they're backed up with the Bible. Bezorah Teom is a phenomenal read, deeply rooted in the mysteries of heaven, and I'm not taking that back. Well, in this one, Yahushua straight up says, you will never know the Father if you don't keep the Sabbath. You'll never get to know him. Even in eternity, you'll never get to know him. Sounds serious. Seems to me like the entire expression can be cross-referenced with Bezorah Yochanan 14:6 when stating, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What Mashiach is saying is that he is the Torah made flesh. The Torah is all of those things. The way, that comes from Psalm 119:1. Look it up. Psalm 119:1, the Torah is the way. It's the truth, Psalm 119:142, and the life, Deuteronomy 32:46 through 47. Now, I'm not taking the time to go through all those, but you can look them up and see for yourself that Yahushua HaMashiach is just quoting Moses. That's all he's doing. No man comes to the Father except through the Torah, as exemplified by Mashiach, who kept it perfectly. That's why Yahushua can say the same thing regarding the Sabbath. No man will ever truly know the Father unless he has the mark of Yahuwah upon his hand and forehead. The mark of the beast, or the mark of Yahuwah, which will you choose? So that's all I wanted to cover tonight. And it looks like there was a little bit of a contention in the chat over the name Yahuwah. And just an explanation for anyone who came in late, I think I talked about in the beginning. This is one of those videos where if you missed the beginning, please go back and you see the whole thing from beginning to end. The Paleo-Hebrew. Now, here at the Unexpected Cosmology, we're putting out the entire Torah from the Paleo-Hebrew. And Pamela Glasgow is translating that, doing a phenomenal job of it. And we're going through that in our Torah portions each week. And in modern Hebrew, all right, in the Masoretic Hebrew, it would be Yahuwah. But in the Paleo, it is Yahuwah. So I have decided to go with the name of the Father, Alahayam, and the name of the Son, Yahuwah, from the Paleo in my papers. And I try to explain that in all my videos so people aren't confused. But the confusion still comes up a lot. And I understand, so I'm trying to be transparent with that. And yeah, so hopefully you guys enjoyed that. It looks like I was going to answer some questions tonight. If anyone had any questions, I think I need to just set aside a Q&A time. Yeah. Oh, actually, let me go over the names real quick. Give me a second here. And one of the names I got asked is about the names recently. And so when Moshe stood before the fiery bush, he asked for the name of the Alahayam, or the Elohim he was speaking with. And this is what the creator said, Ahaya Asher Ahaya. All right. And this is translated, I am that I am. So Ahaya Asher Ahaya. That is the name that Moshe was given. And so it's the name that, you know, I'm going to go with. Anyways, with that, good night, everybody. I'm going to be giving one more presentation tonight. I'm going to be taking about a 10-minute break or so. And I wasn't sure how long this would take. I scheduled it for 9 o'clock. And we'll be continuing my study on the Torah Abides, Paul's letter to the Galatians, according to the law of Yah, and showing, you know, line for line that he kept the Torah. He's describing the Torah. He's not telling people to break the Torah. So I'll see you guys over there in a little bit. Good night, everybody.